Loveline starts now.
Yes, indeed. It's Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. Is that what I said? LOVE-191? Wow. Tonight, Yellow Card, Ryan Key. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Turn his mic up and let's get it right in front of him here.
All right, there we go.
A little hotter. Now you talk.
Sorry, I'm not really.
Much better.
I'm not well trained. Not housebroken.
So you guys, new CD is called Lights and Sound. Came out last week.
Yes.
How's it doing?
Well, for a bunch of little dudes from Florida.
It's not bad.
Came in at number 5 on the charts.
Not
first
bad.
Week.
That's great.
Yeah, pretty big step for us.
And I'm looking at your tour schedule here. It's all over the freaking world.
Yeah.
You go from Las Vegas to Hamburg to Munich to Bristol.
Yeah, it's going to be...
it's crazy.
It's kind of insane, really. They keep us... I think sometimes they assume we just run on batteries, but we don't. I don't know.
Batteries? You have to have a Star Wars transporter
or
something.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's just...
We're going Munich, Bristol.
The worst one, if you'll see, is the one that goes from London to Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, no. Don't worry.
That's quite a hike.
No. You go from Norwich to Melbourne, really.
Right.
So it's a totally different thing.
Right.
And don't worry. 3 days later, you're in Osaka.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no
it's just
big
a
deal.
Little hop, skip, and a jump up.
And then back to New Jersey. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Totally.
What the hell? And you're in the Virgin College Megatour.
If
right?
if you have a better plan,
I plan to put your feet up and watch TV.
I'll give you my email.
But you guys tour. I mean, like I've said, talking to another band a couple of days ago, I said this is a young man's game.
Yeah,
touring constantly.
Totally. And we've always been just a touring band. That was kind of the whole deal. All this other stuff, getting to be on Loveline, that kind of somehow happened on the way. But
right.
I mean, we've always been just tour has always been our mindset, and. We're just kind of still doing it the same way. But I'll tell you, I can tell that I'm 26 now and I'm not 21.
You're feeling it.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Ocean Avenue sold 2.5 million copies. How'd you guys meet?
We grew up together in Jacksonville, Florida. And we went.
I've never been to Jacksonville. I've been all around there, but never been there.
Well, it's a drive through.
It's easy to miss.
Yeah, it's easy to miss. It's a giant small town. It's a really spread out, so always kind of has the ambition to be a big city, but it's just
like
too
a
hard.
Suburb.
Yeah, it's one giant suburb with a downtown in the middle that takes 45 minutes to
Tampa's
get to.
Tampa's kind of like that too, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Same kind.
But Tampa would definitely be more of a metropolitan area.
Oh,
I think,
is that right?
Than Jacksonville. And even that's not saying much. But we grew up together, and we went to a really interesting place. For high school, we went to a performing arts high school. It was like a magnet school for the arts.
I remember this story.
Yeah, and that would be how we ended up with a violin in the band. It was like, violin players and ballet dancers and creative writers were all the same.
Were you all in the musician program? Or
No, I was actually in the theater department, and the rest of the guys were in the... I'm responsible for all the drama in the group.
Right.
Rest of the guys were in the music department, yeah.
Nice.
So...
Good. And you grew up in Jacksonville?
Yes.
Normal family? Anything weird?
No, pretty.
Anything I should know about?
No, I'm pretty normal. I got the grandparents and parents both still married. Good Southern.
Do you have a girlfriend now?
No, I've been free. I'd like to say for about 4 years now. Actually, I had had one for the first couple years while we started out.
It's impossible to tour and have a relationship.
It is,
right?
Man. A couple of the other guys in the band have been able to manage, but I wasn't able to. And then when we parted ways, it was like then we were kind of already in the thick of it, and meeting someone at that point is
Forget
just impossible.
It.
So I kind of.
But you're always meeting people on the road, just not relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Why do you guys ever talk about that?
I have a big issue with this. I'm glad you brought it up. I think. Okay, if I was a 26-year-old male,
yes, if you were
alpha male,
right?
That was just lived in Los Angeles and went out on Sunset Strip every night.
Came from a broken family.
It came from a broken family, and was say a couple times a month, maybe three, was to meet a young lady at a bar and you hit it off and you go home and you're all kind of, you're looking to have a good time, whatever. No one would think twice about it. However,
right. But if you're in Osaka,
for
one night.
No, I was going to say, I have this interesting label on my occupation. I play in a band.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently, it's not, it's taboo. Then it's just not. It's not.
You can't do that.
You can't do that anymore, or else you're, that guy. You're the band guy that
yeah, but the thing
bangs
is,
groupies on the road, and it's not like that at all. It's really just.
But the thing is that you're a healthy guy, and then the guys with a little more of an edge. sort of take a few days to get into it. And once they do, it's just game on.
Yeah.
It's every night somewhere different.
Yeah, totally. I am. And I do kind of, I mean, there are the nights where we really, things go kind of, you know, out of control. But I mean, for the most part, we're pretty mellow, humble gentlemen
all of
from
you.
Florida. Yeah, we really
all
are.
Everybody's it's still the same original.
No, we have, God, we're the kings of the lineup changes. We've had the original, I wasn't even in the band when it originally started. We just, you know, this past year we lost one of the founding members, our guitar player, and it was really a pretty tragic experience for us, really. It was a really hard thing because we really were trying to work it out and to move forward as a unit. Mm-hmm. And it kind of got to the point where it was like either no unit or unit without him. You know, it was either break up or move on without him. And it was just...
I'm not understanding. What was going on?
Well, I mean, it's honestly, it's something that we haven't really been... We've chosen not to really tell our side of the story, we just got to a point where four of us were in one place and one was in another, you know? Mm-hmm. And we've been there before. We lost our original bass player. He got married and his head kind of went in a different place too. And he kind of got to the mentality like, this isn't fun anymore. And it's totally, looking back, I can see how maybe he thought that it wasn't fun trying to deal with the wife and
impossible.
And having the baby. And then us starting to become more of a serious, for lack of a better word, business happening with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so... It's
interesting.
It's not for everybody, you know?
All right, let's take some calls, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay. Evan 22, you're on with Ryan Key from Yellow Card.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Evan?
What up?
Basically, my question is that I would really enjoy giving my girlfriend oral sex. But the problem is that there's odor and taste. And I'm wondering if there's any natural foods that could very much mask that taste.
I'll let you, Ryan, tackle this first.
Well, I was going to say, unfortunately, I would be a bad, I think I'm going to give bad advice because...
Well, go ahead.
There's one...
I'll let you hang out. There's
one solemn rule of the road is you absolutely do not enter that territory whatsoever.
With your mouth?
Yeah, absolutely not.
So, because there's no barrier?
Well, you don't know. I mean, what?
But, I mean, you can't use a dental dam, though.
No, well...
Who uses that?
Who uses that?
Okay, I see.
I mean, but
he's not on the road. Evan's there with somebody.
Yeah, Evan is there. I don't think I have a. I don't know. I don't know what you.
Evan, in all probability, anything you put down or in there is going to make things worse in terms of this. No, in terms of this probable infection that she has that's causing this. You need to get her to a doctor. There's a simple cream that takes care of the bacteria and makes this all go away.
Okay.
All
and right. How do you? I mean, we've been going out 4 years, steady. We are the only people we've had sex with. And how do you bring this up to somebody?
Well, say you heard it. You were listening to Love and you heard about a vaginitis, and you heard that it's something that you notice the taste, and you just then I was talking about it, and I thought, boy, it can be something that's not good for women. You got to go and get an antibiotic cream and take care of it.
Either way, there's not going to be an easy way to let her down on that.
Just tell her she smells bad. That's basically what
you're
going
to have to ponder your words pick and choose your words very carefully, my friend.
I think go in full confidence. Like, God, I heard about this last night, I noticed a taste thing, and I just thought, man, this may be you. I want to help you out. Let's go see the doctor.
Right.
Anissa, 16.
Hi. I was, with one guy, and... I'm kind of scared to get out and start dating and have a sexual relationship because I think,
Anissa? Or is it Anissa or Anissa?
Anissa.
Anissa.
That, I might be loose down there or something, I don't know.
Anissa, what's going on, my dear?
Self-conscious.
Self-conscious, I should say. You've had...
16.
First of all, let's just address your delusion. That part of your body is designed to handle the head of a baby. That guy, that 15-year-old little unit didn't do anything. Zero. Now, however, these bizarre preoccupations suggest that you have immense guilt about being sexually active. And that's, I wonder what happened to you. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm just kind of, self-conscious, real self-conscious about it.
Why?
I don't know, because he was real big.
No. Get off of that. What's going on with you generally? I mean, were you abandoned or abused or something? What is going on?
I don't feel bad about it.
Growing up, what happened? Let's get down to it.
Nothing happened to me.
Just the usual American story. Just the alcoholic dad and the physically abusive mom.
Go with the after school special answer of you're stuck in the situation of just kind of everybody's doing it. So I don't know. I mean, when I was 16, I lost my virginity when I was 16 years old. But definitely was not in the market to, like, go out and you know, have other partners or make...
Immediately following that.
Yeah, it wasn't... And it wasn't a self-conscious thing. It was like, this is still a really big deal.
It's intense, right.
So I guess what I'm trying to tell you is you shouldn't be thinking, like, I'm scared to go out and be with other guys because I'm what they might think of whether I'm too loose down there. You should be thinking, like, I should be very careful about who I select because I want to share this with them. Because, and I know this sounds cheesy, but when you're 26, you'll look back, and if you've done it with too many people, you're not going to be that stoked.
Yeah, right.
I promise.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Good times.
And I'll ask a question.
Yeah.
I was wondering that, because I might be pregnant, and I was wondering if I'm smoking now, will it affect the fetus right now?
And this, first you have to tell me what happened you growing up.
Like,
what happened? Tell me what happened. What kind of upbringing did you have to suffer through?
Huh?
What kind of upbringing did you have to suffer through? You have to tell me that first.
Do you come from, like, a normal, happy, everyday family, or was there some stuff going on?
Whether she wants to admit it or not, no way. So what happened?
My family, we've been going through a lot right now.
Okay, what's happening?
My mom and dad ain't together. I lost my grandma just a month ago.
Keep going. Your dad kind of an alcoholic or something?
No, my mom.
Mom's an alcoholic, okay. And is somebody sort of violent or aggressive?
Yes, she is.
Okay. Now you see how the pieces start to fit together. All right. And this, excuse me, I got bronchitis still. You deserve better than what you've been through, and you're going to choose. You're going to be attracted to abusive a-holes, right? That's what the last guy was, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. Because what's amazing about humans is the things that terrorize us in childhood become sources. You've not had this experience, Ryan, because you were raised in a healthy environment.
Well,
but. Reasonably
for the
so.
Most part.
Reasonably so. But if things were overwhelming and unpleasant, magically that becomes the source of immense attraction when you're Anissa's age.
Yep.
And sexuality is a very primitive way to act that stuff out. And, of course, every abusive a-hole you're going to find overwhelmingly sort of enchanting. You need to, first of all, read your attractions and not go for the guys that are super attractive to you. Because just the fact that you're attracted to them means they're an a-hole. Guaranteed. You have the abusive alcoholic mom. You may want to get some treatment for that because you're going to continue to be sort of befuddled and not really be able to sort of judge relationships and feel withdrawn and guilty. And this thing about being too loose is really of a delusional nature.
Yeah, no, you need to go find someone at your high school that is like a skinny little guy that thinks he's going to be like a writer or a photographer or something like that. And he's not going to try and do it with you the first time he takes you out. That's what you need.
Ryan, it's getting a little cathartic there.
All right, sorry.
Beth, 26.
Hello? Beth?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, my question is, do I confess about an affair I had a long time ago?
Tell me the story.
I'm so nervous right now. I'm with a great guy for the first time in my life. And
right. You gotta screw that up, Beth. Gotta F it up good. You can't stand it. There's a burn. That information is burning a hole in your soul. You got to tell him about it because you need to be honest. You need to get it off your chest so you don't have to carry a lie. Are you kidding me? That's an impulse just to destroy this relationship.
Well, it was a long time ago.
Of course.
So was it on this guy that you cheated on this guy?
My husband.
Okay.
How long
were you married? You were married to him when you did it?
Yeah, we're still married.
No. When you did this, you were married to him, yes or no?
Yes.
How long ago was this?
Almost 2 years.
Oh, that's not that long.
That's not that long ago.
How long had you been married at the time?
A little over a year.
And who was the guy?
A mutual friend. Just kind of a guy that was in our circle of friends, kind of.
All right. So you have to.
Was he at the wedding?
No.
Best man. So you have to have chaos. Why?
It's so stereotypical, it's ridiculous.
Give me the story.
I was an abused child. I went through years of therapy. My husband and I have been in therapy together. We never had like a harmful relationship. You know, we always.
No, I get the fact that this is a good guy in a good relationship. Don't F that up. Don't screw it up. I know it's your every shred in your soul wants to screw it up. Because it's uncomfortable to you to be close and really in a genuine relationship, but you got to get through this and really have a true relationship. That's what you've got for a change. Instead of the chaos and excitement of...
But are you saying she tells or doesn't tell?
Does not tell.
Is there any way he can find out at all?
I don't think so. It was so brief. It was like 6 weeks, and it was, so long ago.
Weeks? Beth, you're
That's almost 2 months.
Beth, your prism is bent all over the place. Years ago. So long ago. 18 months ago.
I got to say the only way you don't tell this guy, is if there's no way. You got to have a signed document from someone that he can't find out.
Listen, I know who Beth's husband is. He will be, if he were to find out, he'd be forgiving. The problem is, if she tells him now and he is forgiving, she'll hate him for not shaming her and making her feel as bad as she feels and pushing the relationship apart, which is what her subconscious desire is here.
So it'll get even worse when it's okay, baby, I still love you.
Exactly. So, and if he finds out and gets angry and then kind of goes, all right, I'm over it, she'll kind of, not be in control of it and go into hiding a little bit about it and try to let it blow over. Beth, what are you doing? Come on. You want this relationship to end? You want your marriage to end?
No.
Okay. Then shut up. Okay? Really. Come on. More mystery, less history. All right?
I like that.
All right. This is Kendra. What's up?
Hi. You had spoken a couple months ago, Dr. Drew, about some alternative treatments for adults with ADD or ADHD.
Warning that many adults with ADD and ADHD are really addicts. And that in my world, all my patients have ADD and ADHD, and they're all severely addicted. And if you go on the traditional stimulants, you activate their addiction profoundly. They feel a lot better, like they would if you gave them heroin, too, for that matter. And they can kind of keep it together for a year or two, and then things explode, usually. So what I was saying is, there are behavioral management techniques for this. There's Wellbutrin, there's Clonidine, there are many other different things. There's certain serotonin reuptake inhibiting medication. There's a lot of other stuff. You should go to somebody who... What's that?
It's actually not me. It's from my friend, and I already know... I know that she doesn't use it according to the way that it's prescribed, and I had serious doubts about it even before I heard you talking about it.
So she's going...
I heard
that... Yeah.
Hmm?
She needs to be treated by... She's an addict, right?
Basically, she won't take it for a couple weeks at a time, and then she'll take a quarter or a half, but then she loses track of how much she's taken and she's wired.
Right. Magically, that's sort of what addicts do. They'll cheek it for a while and then they'll just take big doses of it to get high on it. Get her involved with somebody that understands these conditions and the nuances of the disorders and get her properly treated.
Is there somewhere that I could go to look up some of the studies that you were talking about?
You go to the National Institute of Mental Health and the National Institute on Drug Abuse, and out in Colorado, you could look up Hazleton. They've got satellite programs all over the country. So.
You're a good friend.
She is a good friend. Nice codependent friend.
I like that.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Hey, what's up? You're on with Ryan Key from Yellow Card. What's up?
Have you ever heard of FemCap?
Hang on. He was out. She's out in India, out where you guys were last night.
In the desert, eh?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, we were at the Morongo Casino last night.
Oh, is that right? That place is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty hip for being out in the desert out there like that.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more east of that, the real desert part of it.
You're really part of the, we were talking about earlier, the IE, the Inland Empire, so to speak, right?
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Does your boyfriend drive a monster truck?
No, but oh my God, I see those all over the place now.
All right, good. I'm glad your boyfriend doesn't drive a monster truck.
Yes, I have heard of the FemCap. What would you like to know?
Okay, well, I was on Depo for 5 years, and then I went to the pill about 10 months ago. Mm-hmm. And now whenever I have sex, I bleed. Mm. And it's, beyond being gross and stuff, it's embarrassing. So.
A lot?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Have you been checked for that?
No. Well, I went and I did everything.
You what?
I went and got tested for chlamydia and HIV and all those.
It was a physician that saw you?
I went to Planned Parenthood.
No, so you probably saw a nurse practitioner or something. Did you tell that person that you were having irregular bleeding? Okay, you need to go back and you need to tell them that you've had very regular bleeding. They may need to do an ultrasound to make sure things are okay. There's a lot of different things that can cause this. You need to look into it. Could be ovarian cyst. Could be,
maybe
could
go to a doctor.
It's called endometrial hyperplasia.
Instead of Planned Parenthood.
Well, Planned Parenthood is very good, but you need to tell them what you're in there so they can do the proper workup.
Right.
Okay. You don't think it would just be a regular bleeding from the depot?
You're not on the depot anymore.
No, I know, but I heard that you can have irregular bleeding for like up to a year after you get off.
Yeah, 6 months typically. How long have you been off?
Last March. So
a year. A year. Let's be fair. It's about 11 months.
Yeah.
Let's get this properly evaluated. It could be thyroid condition. There's a lot of different things that can do this, Jennifer. Do not make assumptions about what it is. Don't start. Listen, general axiom, no treatment until you know what you're treating. You can't apply a treatment to something that you're blinded to what you're doing, because every diagnosis has a different treatment. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Go get it checked out.
Okay.
She wants to put a cap over her cervix so she doesn't bleed. Just plug it up.
Just let it.
Yeah. I mean, I've got this problem. I got a regular bleed. How about if I just put a plunge?
We'll just see what happens.
Put a cork in it. That's what she's thinking. Oh, my goodness. This is Sarah, 24.
I'm having an issue with dating that I need to talk to you about.
All right. We're here. You're on with Yellow Card.
I started dating somebody, and I realized that I don't really like him that much. And then when I see that they're dating somebody else,
gotta have him.
Yeah, then I like him again. But I didn't like them at all before, so I don't know what it is.
Ryan, she's one of these women that would never want to be a member of a club that would have her as a member.
Absolutely.
Had that?
Now I kind of have the same problem.
Do
I
you?
Think. Yeah.
So if other guys want a girl, you're in.
Yeah, kind of.
Not everybody. I will date people, and I will like them. And
I kind of have that problem of like wanting what you can't have.
Wanting what you can't have is a little different than needing, having to sort of beat everyone else out.
Right.
It's a little different.
Yeah, maybe I don't.
You can have both.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I don't know that I have so much like, oh, I had it and now they have it. I think I'm more like the guy that likes, I'm attracted to like girls who have boyfriend, like girls who are already with someone else.
Oof.
I'm attracted to like the challenge of making them available. I'm a homewrecker. I'm not anymore. I haven't done it in a long time.
But you're a healthy guy.
I am.
You're building this whole case about
that's why I've been single for 4 years, because I know that it would be bad to actually pursue anyone.
Eternal suburb out there in Jacksonville. Your parents and your grandparents all live in the same house.
It's people that will pursue me for a long period of time, and I will never like them. And then the second I see that they're with somebody else, I'm like...
That's you?
No, you're the worst.
Yeah, that sounds like... By the way, what Ryan's really reacting to is... As males, we have to deal with that from the age of like 11.
Yeah,
because that's who really behaves like that is young, young girls. So why are you still behaving like that?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling.
Right. Want to give me any more info about you? We got to interpret it in the context of you and your life. So what's happening?
Let's see. Nothing really. I date around a lot, and I don't really seem to. When I do find somebody that I like, it doesn't work out for whatever reason. Right. And then
that doesn't.
No, you make it not work out.
Yeah, that doesn't tell me anything. What kind of family did you grow up in?
Single parent household.
Who? Mom or dad?
Mom.
And where was your dad? Alcoholic?
Yes.
Yeah. And you kind of got the alcohol gene too a little bit, huh?
Not really. I don't drink that.
Sarah.
But, I don't drink that much.
But you kind of got the gene.
Maybe.
Yeah, I feel it. Thank you, sweet spirit. And so it's for you, thrill is something kind of good. You like thrill. I couldn't hear that. You say yes or no?
No, not really.
You don't like thrill.
I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of like roller coasters and things that are scary.
Yeah, but you're on one. You never stay in one place for more than 5 seconds. It's like,
you're not intrigued by things like hang gliding or something?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Maybe you don't have that. I still feel it. Have you ever had an issue with stimulants, cocaine or speed or anything?
No.
Okay, and alcohol's been always under control?
Under control. I mean, everyone's had their times when it's been out of control, but probably I could count that many on my fingers on one hand.
Okay, so it's not been a sustained period of out of control drinking?
No.
Okay.
Well, do a lot of boys like you?
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
You're good and you're honest. I like that.
Yeah, that's fine.
But doing the, like, letting someone chase you around like that for so long.
She never had a dad.
It's an issue.
And so the men are, her just like I said, the attraction then is to the unavailable.
And needs the attention
of... He was in and out.
Right. But you want the attention and someone fawning over you all the
time. You want that guy. You want dad. And dad is a guy that's never around. So if somebody actually is interested and is going to come around, stay around, have none of that.
Mm.
Right. Now, if somebody else is into him, well, now I got to go get him. But as soon as he comes in... back out again. No way. Because closeness is dangerous. closeness means I'll really have feelings. I want to be attached. I'll start to love this guy. And, of course, he will leave. And because you're attracted to him, you're right. Because that's the kind of guy you're attracted to.
So, okay.
Why don't we change that?
How do I change that?
You know, look.
I'm going to write a book about this. I swear to God. I'm going to have people sort of learn to read their attractions and how attracted can
you
be. You'll
revolutionize young people, lives.
Here's the basic thing, Sarah. You can't, unfortunately, unless you want to have therapy, which will change who you're attracted to and who you're attracted by and to, you need to not go for the guy you're super attracted to. You can go for a guy you're kind of attracted to. It's okay to have a little sort of craziness in the relationship.
Guys that aren't good looking. Ben.
What's that?
Guys that I don't think are good looking, you mean? Or
no, more like in a
mode.
A Lloyd Dobler say anything type way. Like the guy who you wouldn't really usually thing.
But you could imagine being with him. It's okay. You kind of like him.
And if you're as hot as I'm assuming that you are, that guy is going to be really stoked just to hang out with you.
He'll be fine.
He's not going to try and take advantage of you. He's not going
to
let...
Well, no, he'll have a little craziness because she won't be able to really be with a totally nice guy. She will not be able to.
Okay.
But a little craziness, a little bit of chaos, a little bit of drama, and that's fine. But that guy, you're not going to be terribly attracted. You're kind of attracted to. And you can't, that's, if you want to have a sane life, that's what you're going to have to do, unfortunately.
I think that the guy that you're usually attracted to is really kind of a douchebag anyways.
Yes, of course.
You really need to try and look deeper, like find something a little deeper than your usual guy.
That is Ryan Key from Yellow Card. We're going to hear Lights and Sounds from Lights and Sounds during the next segment. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. We'll be right back. That's Ryan Key. He is from Yellow Card. And he and I were just sharing war stories about our fear of flying. And Ryan, unfortunately, is still in the grips of it. Mine vanished. As is typical, fear of flying. Fear of flying, usually you don't have it. It slowly comes on. Then it becomes paralyzing. And if you you get over it.
Okay.
Most cases.
Well, I'm going to keep flying because I have to quit my job if anything. But I just can't. I can't get past it.
John Madden doesn't fly. He does all right.
I know.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go to.
He also doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't have to go. There's no American football in Indonesia, so he doesn't have to go there.
Yeah, you should see these guys' tour lineup. Just a couple cities: Sydney, Brisbane, Osaka, Nagoya. I've never heard of that. Then all through the United States. After that, London, Bristol, Munich, Hamburg. Okay,
they still got boats though, right?
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, except listen, the distance between Munich and Bristol is one day.
No, the difference between Norwich, United Kingdom, and Melbourne, Australia is... it's a week, but we are actually...
No, 4 days. No, Brisbane, 3 days. Brisbane to Osaka is 3 days.
Yes, but we fly that day. I mean, it's always just like... It's an 20-hour flight from London to Australia.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, what you were talking about earlier, it's off topic, but I know what you're talking about and everything's fine.
Oh, thank you. Did that all go?
Yeah, everything. Well,
see, that's
everyone,
the pilot I need right there.
It sounded fun for everyone but you guys. So
okay.
I need the pilot to go, hey, I know that flight you had earlier, but everything's okay.
That's what my dad does for a living. Is he fear of flying, mainly. Phobias.
Seriously?
Really?
I'll hook you up.
Hook me up, dude.
Is it not the case that most people get over it? They have a spontaneous regression of it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I had a classic case. It came on, it was horrible, and it was gone. Now it's completely gone. It's weird.
Yeah, once it goes away, it doesn't recur usually.
No, right. And there's no way you couldn't even. No, you know, I think if I had some sort of horrible experience on a plane, I would have some sort of PTSD.
I'm kind of pissed that I know that it can go away now.
It will go away.
All right.
It will go away. Okay,
drugs.
Jared.
Drinking.
Yeah, well, he's into that already. Jared.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, not much.
Hey, by the way, hang on a second, Jared. Anderson, what kind of technique does he use to get people over it?
He actually flies with them, and he explains everything that's going on while they're on the plane, like all the noises, that kind of thing.
I told him to just listen to on United Airlines when the air traffic controller is talking to the pilot.
No,
just listen to that.
Yeah, but I need the guy that's sitting with you when you hit like a 2,000-foot air pocket
does.
Over the Atlantic Ocean. And go,
you know what you do is you keep your eye on the flight attendants. If they look worried, then I get worried.
Yeah, I know, but then you find yourself watching the flight attendant the entire
that's
flight
cool.
waiting. Are they worried or are
a
they not worried?
A lot of them are
worried?
Hot, so that's all right.
Not anymore, they're not. I'll tell you, they're not.
Alaska.
Jared.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Alaska, Jared's from Alaska. What's up?
Hey, Dr. Drew, love the show. I listen to it every night, man.
By the way, Anderson, I totally agree with you about Alaska.
They're hot, right?
Yes. What's up?
Well, me and my friend, we were at, well, I'm at work and he's works for me, and we were talking about G-spots.
G-spots. What kind of work do you do?
I actually work at a pizzeria.
Oh, that's very, very appetizing. Go ahead.
And we got on the subject of what, how many G-spots are in the anus compared to the vagina. He says there's like 11 to 13 in the anus and only one in the vagina. And I was just wondering if that was true. Or...
Hey, Drew, you got to recap our last caller that we had from Alaska just to bring it all into focus.
Who was that? I don't remember.
The guy that had his wife or girlfriend having sex while he was at
oh,
work.
Oh, my God. Yes, we had. Do you have the anything
no,
from that?
No, you can do it.
All right, I'll just recap it. Our last call from Alaska was a guy, and this I believed it because he sounded creepy. He said, first of all, he likes his wife to have sex with guys while he's at work. And he's because he's freaky, and he was like very matter of fact, like I'm into weird stuff, and I like her to have the guy wear a condom, save the condom, spill it inside her when I get home, and then I'll eat it out. I'll take it out of my mouth.
Oh my God!
I still vomit when I go home thinking about that call.
That is rough.
Yeah.
That guy, he works on like pipeline up there, you know, like just out alone all day.
He was an air traffic controller.
I'm seeing some guy that looks like, what was the name of the prospector in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
No, but he was an air traffic controller, which doesn't help your fear of flying.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That's right. I wasn't.
Oh, that's great.
I'm going back to Anchorage because of that guy.
Yeah, that's great. I'm supposed to be worried about like what how many planes are in the air, and he's thinking about the rubber he's going to swallow.
All right, Jared, here's the deal. Basically, a G-spot is some neural tissue sort of behind that's reachable from behind the pubic bone that's basically just part of the clitoris. And okay. So the women have, if they're going to have something sensitive there, they have that, and men have nothing. And if women reach around back there, mostly they'll get pounded on by their boyfriend to get a roundhouse. Very few guys like any stimulation back there, internal stimulation. Usually it's ouch or extremely painful or offensive or just unpleasant. And believe me, guys are not known, when guys have a sweet spot, they do not hold back.
No, you know absolutely
mean?
Not.
They telling women exactly. I mean, the,
even if it's an embarrassing spot, once it's found, it's like glory be to whatever powers
women
there are.
In line with what they want, and this is not something, guys. You women, you don't have to go search for something that's going to make a guy happy. He will tell you.
Yeah,
he knows what the sweet spot is. Do not look for anything more because that's weird to them and unpleasant, and it's something they write about in women's magazines. It has nothing to do with men. Am I right?
You're right.
Yes, thank you. All right, Jared.
Actually, I was wondering, like, in the female.
Hang on a second. I was afraid what he was going to say next. All right, go ahead. The female what?
I was actually.
Oh, if the female has any?
Yeah.
No, female has definitely. The whole idea concocted by women's magazines was that massaging the prostate. And I, you know what? Probably about 0.1% or 0.1% of men actually do like that. But the other 99.99 are going to just kick you out.
It's an outie, not an innie. It's made for out, going out.
Thank you.
Not going in.
Thank you. This is Kenneth, 17.
How you doing?
Hey, Kenneth, what's up? You're on with Yellow Card.
First of all, I want to say Yellow Card is a very incredible band.
Yes,
why,
sir.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Mark, do you have any tour dates in Louisiana?
Man, you know, well...
Probably. Let me look here.
No, you know, Louisiana is a hard... it's a hard market to play in. It's like we've never played a show in, say, Jackson, Mississippi. There's a couple of states in the South. Arkansas is a hard place. There's a few states in the South. I don't know the reasoning why. Just records don't sell there, and it's hard to play. There's not a lot of clubs for bands like us. I don't know, but we have played in New Orleans, you know, a few times. But unfortunately, there's obviously been a bit of a catastrophe there. So
yeah.
But I mean, man, you know, we've always had good shows in New Orleans. I'll tell you, the most intoxicated I have ever performed on stage in my entire career was in Louisiana. Yeah.
New Orleans.
Yes, in New Orleans.
Funny how that...
I mean, to the point of like not even being able to speak, and I still tried to perform.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
What's up, Kenneth?
Okay, when I was young, I was molested.
Yep.
And now during intercourse, I get flashbacks of the actual molestation, and I lose my erection, and my girlfriend thinks that it's because I'm just not into her or...
Have you told her what's going on with you?
No, not at all. And
I think you should.
How long have you been with your girlfriend?
A year.
See, I don't know. If it, I don't know if I'd be ready to lay all that on her after a year.
I wouldn't lay it on her. It's something that's her responsibility. But just by way of explanation, just say, look, you know, I had some weird stuff happen to me, and it affects me sometimes.
But, listen, I mean, do you think it could freak her out to the point where she would leave me?
I cannot promise anything, right? I don't know her. You know what I mean? I can't.
No, we didn't sign any paperwork, so we can't. We have no guarantee.
Normally I give guarantees, but not tonight. And I just think that you're going to have more difficulty in this relationship if she thinks that somehow you're not attracted to her, or it's something about what she's doing. If she understands, but by the way, a lot of 17-year-old girls are into fixing 17-year-old boys, and she'll want to rescue you and help you and make you better, and you poor guy. And
which probably means a lot more sex. Which, if you figure out the problem, could be a really good thing.
Right.
So it's okay to say, look, I had some things happen, and it affects me now, and that's why this happens. And I'll, you know, let's see.
So just explain it to her.
If I can work with you, if we can sort of hang together, I'm sure I'll get over this.
Now, do you think counseling would be a good option?
I think absolutely you should talk to somebody, just because you've been through this. Forget the fact that you're having erectile problems now. I would talk to somebody. Producer Ann just walked in. Are we okay? All right, because I'm going to hear a song. Oh, that's why she walked in. All right. This is Yellow Card, the album which just came out last week. It's called Lights and Sounds. The song we're going to hear is called Lights and Sounds. You want to sort of send this one out for us?
Yeah, this is kind of the kickoff to our new record, and it's a little bit of a different flavor from our usual stuff, but the whole record kind of is. And this kind of gives you the first taste of what the record is.
That's Ryan Key, and this is Yellow Card.
Take a look around, and all the lights and sounds, let them bring you.
Lights and Sound. That is Yellow Card CD by the same name. Just been out a week. Already fifth on the charts. Ryan Key is here from Yellow Card. We have to take another little break. This is Loveline. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah,
Loveline. Loveline will be right back.
Everybody, Loveline, Yellow Card. Ryan Key is the vocalist from Yellow Card. He's in here tonight. The CD is called Lights and Sounds. There he is. He's a phobic when it comes to flying.
Yep.
I think I upset you by talking about it so much.
No, I'm fine, man.
Preoccupied it's, you.
You'd be amazed how many times our conversations just around the dinner table or whatever come back to that.
To fly.
Always. Well, our new guitar player is also terrified. He's worse than me, actually. And so... You know, we'll be like, oh, yeah, we're going here tomorrow. And then someone will have to start going like, what are we flying? And
oh.
Then, yeah.
Do you have certain kind of planes that freak you out more than others?
No. You know, honestly, it doesn't matter. Big or small.
Little regional jet.
Actually, I think, strangely enough, a 747 over the ocean is scarier to me than a little regional
jet. Because the regional, you fantasize you could land it on a highway if you had to.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but the big, huge one, you're like, dude, this is like 5 million tons of titanium hurtling through the air.
How the hell
miles
what
an
is
hour.
It doing up here?
Yeah, no.
How did that happen?
It's not reality. You know what I do, actually, to justify? I do the weirdest stuff. Like, I think of, like, Indiana Jones movies, and I think of, like old, whenever I'm watching a movie and people are on an airplane, like I made that Say Anything reference earlier because I was watching that last night and they were on an airplane and I was like, man, think about the technology of airplanes in 1975 and, you know, it was pretty much okay then. So I kind of like try and
same planes.
I know, exactly. And I kind of try and date it like that.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
Same planes, new engines, maybe not even new engines.
Hope so.
Yeah.
All right, Brad, 29, what's up?
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations and good luck to Ryan and his band.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Dr. Drew, I have a question. I think I might even need some advice. I'm 29, and for the past 6 or 7 years, I've been having random anonymous sex with men. Well, recently, I've been trying to get out of that for the past, I'd say, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I've started to date somebody.
Good.
And... the intimacy is there, and I like him very, very much, but the sex, I'm just not really turned on by it.
Mm-hmm. And were you doing stimulants or drinking or anything during those
There was alcohol involved once, other times, no.
Not speed, though?
Oh, no, no.
And amyl nitrate or anything like that?
No, no. But I am on antidepressants.
Okay. But that's supposed to make you do less of this kind of acting out. But that's the one problem we see frequently in the gay community is a connection between amphetamines and hypersexuality. And that's a very hard cycle to break. Now, the fact that you're not doing drugs and you are just sort of out there, how long did this go on for? You were having the one-night stands?
About 6 years.
6 years. Pretty long time.
Yeah.
Is there anything we should know? Anything you have difficulty with relationships? Any reason why you couldn't have a stable relationship?
Well, I just it never happened. I mean, I never had that opportunity. You know, I mean, I would try to date, but it wouldn't work out. And, you know, this is the first time where, you know, I'm really interested and I really want to try to make it work, and I don't know what to do.
I'm on my fourth year of one night standing.
And you're okay?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay. I thought it was just twice a month.
Yeah. Well.
How were you doing it every night kind of thing, Brad?
Oh, no. Probably like 2 to 3 times a month. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't seem that out of line. I mean,
that's not like extremely promiscuous.
Yeah, you're a man in his young 20s and, you know, in the gay
Good
community.
Thing you're not in a band, dude. You'd be, they'd call you all kinds of names.
It'd be game on. I don't know, Brad. Here, actually, I'm almost more disturbed by the fact that you're not really attracted by your boyfriend. And that you're trying to force it a little bit. Now, I know I've sort of been advocating this tonight, but I was also saying that you should be attracted. You shouldn't be overwhelmingly driven. You know, it shouldn't be one of those attractions that are like, oh my God, I have to be with that person. But you actually have to want to have sex with that person for it to work. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
And maybe this isn't meant to be. Maybe this isn't working out. Maybe this is close and you're finally sort of making a move towards intimacy and towards real relationships. But you got to try that on for size in a few different settings before you find somebody that really sort of fits right with you.
and you've gone too far the other direction, which is great. It means you can. And now bring it a little bit back more towards somebody you're actually attracted to. What do you think, Ryan? About Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. I'm honestly having the same problem. I can't find a woman that I'm both intellectually and physically stimulated
by. All right,
by.
We're going to talk same about problem. All right, good, because we're going to talk about that when we get back. We're going to talk about Ryan's deep psychological problems.
Traumatized.
He's painted this picture of this idyllic childhood in Jacksonville with the parents and extended family all living together for seven generations in the same roof.
Everybody cooking perfect, cornbread and drinking tea.
And loves each other. I just can't have a relationship. I don't know. I'm not interested in having sex with anybody that wants to be with me. I don't know what that is. All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. It is Yellow Card. We'll be right back. That's right. It's Love Line. Ryan Key in here from Yellow Card. The new CD is called Lights and Sound.
I'm on the couch right now.
He's on the couch. He's been he painted me this wonderful picture of the ultimately healthy family. And I've been getting the real ass lately. Just during that last break, I got really what's going on here.
Right. Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. You know.
All right. Nobody's perfect. It's good. It's make you human.
I know.
You just don't tell everybody again that you have a perfect family. That's all.
Okay, I won't. Perfect shouldn't have come out of my mouth.
Yeah, perfect
anyway.
Puts me on notice immediately that I need to dig a little deeper.
It's not.
It's good, though. It sounds fun. Sounds good.
It's an adventure, for sure. People think we're the Brady Bunch, you know? We're one of those
families. You're healthy enough, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I mean, people assume, oh, wow, look, they're so perfect. But it's really, you're right, it's not.
Just because your dad's beating the crap out of you. But anyway.
Hey.
So. Saying. Only now, this is for you now, Ryan. Ryan, who's got fear of flying. We've been getting him sort of escalated into an intense state of anxiety for the last hour. This is now Gina, who's going to straighten you all out.
Okay.
Gina?
Hi.
Hey.
My name's Gina. I just got to say, Dr. Drew, I've been listening to your show since I was a teenager.
Wow.
And I'm 34 now, and I've never called in, but there has not been an issue or a question I've had that your show hasn't been able to answer.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think it's so great to have somebody out there like you that is addressing issues, especially for all these younger people.
It's very kind.
And
you're going to help us tonight.
Well, first I wanted to start off by saying I'm an aircraft dispatcher at LAX. And I just thought maybe I could make him feel a little bit better.
Hey, Gina, hold on a second. Gina, what is the difference between an aircraft dispatcher and an air traffic controller?
Oh, well, an air traffic controller basically controls the aircraft in the sky. You know, it's full of basically like freeways in the sky.
You're one of the ones you're the one of the ones taking Charlie via Alpha, Zulu, right?
There you go. Alpha,
that's
Bravo,
you.
Charlie, Delta. Yeah, we get it.
She's telling them what lanes to take and what you know when if you listen they're going to take you guys have fast lanes and slow lanes, right?
Yeah, there you go. Kind of in a way, yeah. They have they have certain times they have to get on certain routes and they have to be in certain places at certain times. And you know, we decide basically what route they're going to take to get from A to B safely.
I'm cursing Gina because we have to go, you know, 19 different turns just to go down to the end of the runway and take a right turn and go take off.
And that's what the air traffic controller does. He takes you through the runway, and then another air traffic controller takes care of you once you're actually in the air and makes sure, you know, you're at your certain altitudes and you're staying, you're not bumping into other planes, basically, and all that good stuff.
No, you're not helping Ryan
now,
Gina.
Yeah, that's
not
good so
far. You're not helping him, so straighten him out.
I don't want to bump into another plane.
Okay, well, let me tell you, this is the thing. When you get on some of these programs, if you ever have a chance to get on something like Flight Explorer, and you see how many airplanes are in the air at one time, it is astounding, especially over the United States.
Thousands.
And to know that you have all these aircraft in the air, and if you think about the ratio of accidents per airplanes that actually land safely, it's really, like, ridiculous. You know,
you're like, literally, like, 50 times worse off driving home tonight.
No, I heard it's,
exactly,
you know, getting...
Exactly. You have a better chance of getting in an accident on the freeway than you do getting in an airplane.
Getting struck by lightning twice is you have a better chance.
And another thing is I learned in school is that with aircraft, they're like cars. You know, very rarely, you know, you get a car, it always has some little issue. Airplanes are the same way. It takes so much maintenance to keep them up. And I just actually sent off an airplane tonight that had been grounded for a couple of months getting repair work done. And, you know, that airplane is fine. It's in, you know, they do all kinds of test runs. They do all that stuff. I mean, they're not going to risk your safety or theirs. You know, they're going
to. Well, so far, talking to Gina sort of brought my fear flying back into existence.
So, yeah. So basically.
I don't want to hear about the aircraft's been grounded
basically,
for 3 months.
Jim Bob left his wrench in the engine and we let the plane go.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. They take every precaution that you can imagine. And, I mean, it just really, I think there's a statistic, like, you'd have to fly around the world, like, a million times to even risk possibly getting into any kind of air.
Well, I'm on, this will be my sixth trip around. So okay.
And by the way, Gene, it's his animal brain that really reacts. He knows he's safe, but when he feels a bump, his brain triggers anxiety.
I'm fine when we're taking off and we're landing. It's when we're, like, at 40,000 feet over the ocean. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and flight attendants, please take your seats. I will kill someone. I mean,
put a little Buddy Holly in your iPod and ease out.
I can relate, but you know, it's really actually like we already know what turbulence you're going to hit before you even get in the airplane.
Why can't you steer us around it? Why can't you be like, oh, we know that's there. Why put this young man through that mental pain and anguish?
Well,
let's steer him around it.
Actually, every aircraft that I've ever dispatched has experienced some kind of turbulence or another because it's just, you know, at one altitude from a certain altitude to another altitude, you can't avoid it.
Right.
I mean, unless you want to make it an 8-hour trip, a 15-hour trip, you know, which most people don't want to do.
No.
But, you know, it's like you kind of go through that little bit of turbulence, and there's a lot more dangerous things than turbulence. Volcanoes are the number one danger to an aircraft, you know, and I reroute.
I was going to tell him the story that 747 started having fire come out of its engines when it went through a volcano plume.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
There's a famous story about this.
Basically, like the volcano ash, you can't see it coming. It's like clouds. And
can't see it coming. No.
You can't see it. It looks like a cloud from far away.
Well, you guys steer around it now. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
No, I'm fine. You can tell me.
Yeah, you're going to be fine.
Thanks, Gina.
Anyway, I actually had a question, too. Do I have time for my question?
Really quick. Here we go.
Okay. I just wanted to know, my mother recently passed away in less than 10 months from ovarian cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't really been able to nail down a doctor that can tell me what my hereditary factors that I should be concerned with. Is this something that I should be really watching out for?
Yes, you should be tested. Well, there are certain genetic variants that have familial types of patterns. You need to be tested for that. You live here in Southern California. I suggest you go to City of Hope. Okay?
City of Hope. Okay.
City of Hope. Get tested. All right, Jim.
Good
luck.
Good night. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Volcano plumes. Let's do it.
I'll tell you the whole story. It's very interesting. And actually, it'll be more reassuring than talking to Gina because this plane started firing cannonballs, like fire out of its engines, lost all power, 747, and it still flew for like an hour. During that time, when they got below the smoke or the plume,
right,
the engines would kick back in again. So it kept going back, and it went back up into the smoke, caught on fire again, came back down. But the point is that these things can fly for... There's so much time when you're at that high altitude to take care of problems.
Yes.
That's how you go. Anthony, 15.
Yes.
Ryan's like kicking.
I was going to say, Gina's one of those people who's like speaking to people in terms of her work and thinking everyone's going to understand it when really she wasn't. I love... Thanks, Gina. Thanks for help. Thanks for trying, though, Gina. It's you get an E for effort.
What's up, Anthony?
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. First of all, Yellow Card, like, I love your new album and everything, but I was reading a book called Why Do Men Have Nipples?
Why do they?
I haven't really got there yet, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I was just, like, wondering, because it says, like, in the book that masturbating a lot, like, actually lowers prostate cancer.
Maybe. There's some theories about that. Basically, you got to keep that plumbing going.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, it doesn't have to be masturbating, but you just it's irritating to the prostate to allow semen to build up. It's not good prostate hygiene.
Oh, okay. So, what?
And it probably causes prostate hypertrophy or growth. It probably causes urinary problems later in life, and it may cause risk of prostate cancer. Okay.
All right.
That's it?
Yeah.
So he wants to keep. He wants a reason to keep masturbating.
Right.
What he's saying. It's all right. You got it. Keep masturbating, Anthony. You're 15. Enjoy. This is Erica.
Poor Catholic people, man. You know, you can't do it yourself. Can't do it with other
cancer.
People. Mm-hmm. It's like religion is a recipe for prostate cancer.
Don't worry. God takes care of it at night.
Okay, got it.
Pulls it out of them.
Oh, that's right.
Eric, 21.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say you guys are pretty cool. But I liked you guys a lot. Are you guys coming to Salt Lake?
Dude, we always come to Salt Lake City. In fact, it's next to our hometown of Jacksonville, Florida. It's probably right below it on the list of all-time most.
Really?
Dude.
Why?
Something about the
are you a Mormon?
The
Mormon? No. Something. No, I'm one of the only few that I'm not. But
something about those right Mormons, now, though, man. They are, I don't know, something about the show, the energy at the shows in Salt Lake City is just
intense.
It's notable, you know? It really is.
You guys, I saw you guys a long time ago at the Warped Tour, and you guys were really cool. Are really good. I just want to let you guys know that, so.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much.
No problem.
Thanks, all Eric. Right. Well, tell me about this Virgin College Mega Tour.
Well.
Are you in that?
Yeah, we're doing that. And you know what?
You don't know anything about it
yet. I'm going to be totally honest. I have no idea. I know that.
I think that's what all this is here, right?
Yeah, no, it is. I just, you know, I don't. It's basically a. It's colleges only. I think it's for students. Yeah, it's us and this band we're out on tour with right now called May.
Okay.
And I think it's just, you know, it's colleges only. It's.
I'm looking at Colorado State, Townsend University, SUNY Brockport.
It's kind of.
Schottenstein Center. Ohio State.
Yes, the Columbus show is at Ohio State. Yeah.
Interesting.
I just show up and play. They don't tell me anything.
Cheryl, what's up?
Hey. Just I'd like to say, like, I listen to your show all the time. First time caller.
Thank you.
And hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm calling because I need dating tips. I've been single for like a year, and I just been dating the wrong people. I've been abused verbally, mentally, and physically, and it's just not fair.
Agreed. What made you feel like you were worth only those kinds of a-holes?
Well, I don't know.
There's a lot of recurring issues.
No, it's of course.
I mean, they all like the a-holes.
Yeah, this one's a little different, I think. That is that she doesn't feel worth anything else, which is different than the one that has to be with that.
Right.
Is that right, Cheryl?
Right. I don't have to be with that. No, I think I'm worth totally a hell of a lot more, you know?
Yeah, but why did you get hooked up with those guys then?
I think it was just attraction in their physical ability and like their personality. Well, not really their personality, but their looks.
Right. Yeah, no, it sounds to me like
same thing.
You like the guys, the monster trucks.
I still get self. Why do I thinking self esteem problems with you, Cheryl? Still,
you know, I now have them now due to being the abuse.
How old are you?
27.
I'm 27.
You're older than me. I'm not allowed to give you advice.
Oh, please do.
You've toured the world.
You guys.
No, I'm just kidding. I feel like I'm much older than I really am, but. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it sounds like the guys that you've been with are kind of the typical likes to go out to the bars and kind of mindless, goes through the motions every day. Like there's not really a lot steering their ship, so to speak. I think maybe you need to find somebody that's a little more intellectually stimulating on your level. You sound like you're maybe.
Ryan, that's your problem, right? You can't find somebody you're attracted to.
I kind of have the problem with trying to find
what
both.
What is that?
I don't know. I think, I mean, we could sit here and you could put me back on the couch for a little while and figure out why. But I kind of have the same problem of where I'll either be, intellectually stimulated by someone or physically stimulated by someone, but I'm having trouble finding someone that does both things.
Well, it's hard for me to understand why you couldn't find both. If somebody has got the horsepower.
I don't know. Remember we were talking to the girl earlier who likes it when she doesn't like a guy until they're gone?
Yes.
Right.
I'm kind of the. I kind of do the same thing where I'll get right up there to it, and then I kind of just go. I think there's something better. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not ready to cash in yet because I think maybe that I'm holding out for something better.
This is the one, not that you're physically into, but the one you're sort of intellectually into.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
Because the ones you're just physically attracted to, I'm smart enough to know that's just what it is.
Yeah.
But when it's someone that I really am.
It sounds like that kind of the closest with somebody you could really get intimate with, is too dangerous right now.
Yeah, maybe.
You really get some heavy feelings and then have to break it up and how awful that would feel.
Yeah, I think I'm afraid of like just totally, you know, I don't want to, I like to think I'm a pretty nice person and I don't want to.
Oh, you're completely deluded.
I don't really want to screw anybody up over because of what I'm
right,
doing.
Right, especially somebody you really like.
Which really sucks because I don't think that I actually would. I think, honestly, I think I use it as a way out sometimes. I'm like, oh, I can't date you because I got to go on the road for
that's kind of true.
Months.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But Cheryl, I think you need to find someone that is a little more,
like you.
Less
that gets you that someone that you are more attracted to, like sitting down and hanging out with, kind of talking to and like spending time where you're forced to have conversations environments, as opposed to a place where you're just physically attracted to people, like bars or whatever, clubs.
Okay, well, how about this? Like, I was not really dating the guy, but like talking to him and seeing him, and then we go to his house and we end up talking and we had a good time and stuff, and then he's like, well, you could spend the night if you want to. So I did, and you know, we made out and everything, but we didn't do anything else. And then he totally just stopped calling me from there. Is it because we didn't do anything?
No, he just wasn't that in.
Really?
Yeah.
I've done that. I couldn't count it on two hands.
Yeah.
He probably had to go
Whatever. He just wasn't that into you. He wasn't that into things weren't.
Something didn't go right.
He thought he was going to be. It didn't. Whatever. Just
something didn't go right. But you can't. The last thing you can do is say it's your fault.
Tell me about that. Something didn't go right. What is that? I know exactly what you're talking about. What is that?
I don't know. Something just didn't. You want when you go in a situation like that, like especially me, you want it to be. I'll reference it for the third time. You want it to be. You want to be Lloyd Dobler. You want that. You want it to be that moment where you're like, God, I am so into you, and you're so into me, and nothing's going to stop us now, you know?
Yeah, I think
But then it just doesn't happen, and it's like, and you can't force that to happen. I think that's...
And when it's not happening, guys just like, there's nothing motivating
them.
Yeah,
there's definitely nothing that causes you to want to be like an overachiever, and
do you think sometimes it's physical? So there's certain physical... just listen, Cheryl, because we're going to try to be as honest as possible about this. Some guys have certain physical wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying? And if you're outside of that wheelhouse, they all of a sudden they shut down. And they have the same thing with emotional wheelhouses, too. There's sort of a range for each guy.
Right.
And if for one reason somebody falls outside of that, it's nothing to do with Cheryl, because some other guy, she'll be right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've certainly never been a person that would say just because you didn't, you know, we didn't do it the first night we hung out.
I don't think it's almost, that's not it,
but
for guys.
No, it's not. No. But it's, that's what I'm saying.
Something
about
something
the way
felt something
that,
or,
yeah. that way it happened wasn't his like film script version of I want to keep talking to you. And as cheesy as that is, that's kind of when you really want to keep hanging out with someone, it's that moment, that thing that happens.
A guy named Patrick Carnes writes a little bit about that kind of thing, calls them love maps.
Yeah.
And that you've got your own sort of script map. You call it a script map that sort of, you have to match up with somebody. If you don't match up, boom, that's it. And sometimes it's built on pathology, you know, Cheryl, and that's what you're sort of doing. You're in the abusive a-hole guys, and that's not so good, and you're trying to get out of that cycle. Hopefully you can. Be very careful. Again, I would suggest you hang out with guys, as Ryan is saying, that you're not super attracted to, because if you're attracted to them, they're probably going to be an a-hole.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just keep your eyes open for that guy that you heard him say something and you went, oh, but that was really interesting and I wanted him to keep saying things to me.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. Good luck. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, by the way, this whole thing about, you know, these dating things and stuff where, oh, I'm going to find somebody where we share everything, we have the exact same. That's not what, people are not into that. People are into stuff that's sort of different and, you know what I mean, opposites. And
yeah.
It's very hard to predict what creates attractions for people. It's usually not. I mean, the fact that they share a lot of similar things and ideas and enjoy things a similar way is predicts good things for a relationship, because you'll enjoy the same stuff the same way. But it doesn't say anything about attraction.
Absolutely not.
It's just the fact that you like the same stuff does not make people attracted.
Right. Well, we were on the other night. We were in New York doing the Conan O'Brien show, and James Carville was on the show,
mm-hmm.
who was one of Bill Clinton's top advisors, yeah. And his wife,
Mary,
is, you know, this
right-winger.
Huge right winger. Yeah. And I'm wondering the whole time, because I'm up a little bit on my politics, and I'm wondering that's got to be some amazing, you know, fetish kind of thing that they both really are attracted to the fact that they're completely on opposite ends of that.
Right. Thing. I did a talk show with them once. They had a pilot, actually. And I was their sort of the guest in the pilot. And we were talking about what men are attracted to, and he was up in the audience, and she was sort of face-to-face with me, and I forget what was being said, but I was talking about how men respond to more physical stuff, and Carville suddenly pipes up and goes, you got that right. He goes, look at me. He goes, I'm ugly, and I'm with this beautiful woman.
Exactly.
There's got to be something more that she sees in me physically. And I thought, there you go. I'm ugly. He was screaming.
He did something right in those first few months.
All right, here is Mary, 29.
Hello, how you guys doing?
We're good, what's up?
Fan of the band.
Cool.
I have a question. I've been married for about a year and a half, and when I first got married, my sexual appetite was tremendous. And just over the last year and a half, it's finally like kind of come down to where sex is like a chore to me completely. I'm just don't get aroused at all. Don't get turned on at all.
Have you had children since then?
I have a 10-year-old from a previous relationship, and I am a couple months pregnant, but prior even to being pregnant, there was, like, just not into sex at all. And even when I masturbate, it doesn't feel as good. It's just, you know, not something I'm interested at all anymore.
Yeah, it just sounds very biological. No medication?
No.
How'd you manage to get pregnant?
I don't know, but it really was good after marriage because she did the little, like, giggle thing after, like...
For a while.
It was really good for a while, you know, so yes. It was good once. You could find it again.
Yeah. I know, it's been, like, the last, you know, 6-7 months, and I feel horrible because I never initiate sex, and my, you know, husband feels disappointed and bummed out that I'm not, you know, into him. So I don't know, is this something that time will heal, or...
Well, you sort of fill us in here more. Have you had trouble with relationships? Is it likely to be something psychological?
I mean, I've had problems as a child in the past, and, you know, eating disorders and you know, your average female issues.
That's not average. I got news for you. Although the press may talk about it as though it is, that's outside
although
the realm.
Although E! Entertainment Television may think you,
that's
make
right.
you think it's normal.
And people with eating disorders and trauma histories often go through periods of what we call bipolar sexual sort of drives, where they're hypersexual and then they completely shut down.
Okay.
And have you gained weight or anything? Is anything about body image interfering here?
Well, I mean, I've gained a little bit of weight because I'm pregnant. But
body image stuff is not affecting how you feel about yourself sexually.
I don't think so, because all of this came up prior to the pregnancy. And I mean, I was bulimic and anorexic for about 14 years since I was about 11 years old. So
okay, let's just for the record. Onset of eating disorder at 11, very unusual and already outside of normal. And 14 years and not dying of it is extraordinary.
Right.
So, come on. This is very, very serious, Mary. Were you treated thoroughly?
Yeah, well, I was seeking counseling, and it was just overwhelmingly expensive. It was a couple $100 an hour. And I went for about, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, and it kind of just came to the point where I mean, I'm pretty much healed. Once in a while, I'll binge and purge, maybe, I don't know, once a month or so. But
Are you a trauma survivor?
I mean, a molestation, is that, I mean.
That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let me just sort of sum this up. Although it sounds very biological, what you're describing, that's a very typical description of what happens to women when they hit menopause, when they have thyroid problems, when they're having medication reactions. And I would still definitely urge you to go have a biological evaluation or endocrinological evaluation to make sure that things are okay. I do suspect that in the third trimester of your pregnancy, suddenly you will have a little more sexual feeling. Having said that, though, this rather extraordinary history of an eating disorder, this profound sexual abuse history, all that adds up to much, much more. And yes, you've been treated, but you haven't been completely treated. And still there is this bipolar quality to your sexuality where at the beginning of the relationship you were hypersexual. Now that the relationship really develops into a long-term intimacy, the sexuality shuts down. That's typical trauma survivor stuff. And I suspect it's more about that, but have the biology evaluated and go back to treatment with somebody that's used to dealing with trauma survivorship. Ryan Key, what do you think?
Well, until I heard about the eating disorder and the more sexual serious abuse. Issues, mm-hmm. I was just going to say I was involved in a relationship where, you know, I would go out for 3 months at a time and come home and not get my clothes ripped off upon entering the door.
Oh, yeah.
And it finally got to a point where I think a really amazing relationship ended due to my inability to... It wasn't me, you know, it was my... I tried to get it... I was having kind of the same issue. The girl I was with
Oh, you were not into it.
No, I was into it. But I was having an issue with a girl who was not into it. And so I was going to say,
she
had it once. And I never really even had it. I never even...
Was she angry that you were away all the time?
I don't know what it was. But
did
in the end...
Did you ask her if she'd been abused?
No. Yeah. But I'm thinking...
Get used to asking that question.
No, I'm going to. And I'm thinking it now. You know, obviously 4 years later, I'm thinking... I've always thought that now.
There you go.
But, I mean, I at the time, I was just like, why are you into me anymore? But I never had the part... I can tell that this girl we were just talking to, when they got married, that it was on.
Yeah, she let us know.
It was on. And
yeah.
I never really had it to where, like, it was really on anyways.
With the other one.
But then it got to the point where it just wasn't at all, you know, and I had to kind of jump ship because it was like...
Bad times.
Giving too much, not getting any back. But sounds like there's a lot more going on, as you put it. So I don't.
Usually there is. But things do not exist in a
like vacuum. My good home cooking Southern Brady Bunch family.
Your Brady Bunch family, we scratch under the surface and they just split open. It's like, wow, pathology came heaping out of there.
Oh, I know.
All right, 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. It is Ryan Key from Yellow Card. Let's see, open sore on the penis. Yellow Card tattoo on the back is raising. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to her when we get back.
Hello, this is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Revealing all during the commercial break. Yellow Card.
But they might be listening right now, so I can't really, I'll have to get on the couch.
Listeners would love this. The CD is called Lights and Sounds. We're going to hear Rough Landing Holly in a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk about tattoos, right? We're going to talk to Britton.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Britton.
I have a tattoo on my back, right in between, right below my neck. I've had it for almost 10 years now. And just the last couple of years, I'll, like, get an itch on my back, and I'll scratch it. And it's, I know this sounds weird, but it's only on the right side if I scratch it. And all of a sudden, my tattoo will raise up. Just the outline of that tattoo, anything that is still the, you know, regular surface of my skin stays flat, and everything else raises up.
Is it a color? Is your tattoo have color in it?
No, it's just an outline of my Pisces sign.
Okay, but it's just the lines raise up, right?
Exactly.
It's not the skin in between the lines, or
not at all.
Just the dark line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really bizarre.
I don't know what it is, but I was just telling Dr. Drew I have the same. I have a tattoo on my forearm.
Yeah.
That has, it's black, and it's color,
uh-huh.
but anytime I'm doing anything like physical activity where something is rubbing it or touching it, like if I'm throwing the football or something. The black parts, like here in the corners, mm-hmm. will raise up.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
The black ink will raise up.
It makes some sense.
I mean, there may be some sort of chronic it may be a chronic irritant that when you stimulate it, it just causes some inflammation. It's not a big deal.
Okay.
I mean, it's amazing. It's just like these corners and the letters.
Makes some sense.
It's a little freaky because it's only been happening the last 2 years since I've had it for almost 10.
Huh.
And I thought, well, maybe since I've had kids, my body chemistry's changed.
Maybe your immune system. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. I certainly wouldn't be able to tell you any medical reason why, but you are. It's ink in your skin.
It's not normally
there.
It's not like you weren't.
It didn't come with the package, so something maybe doesn't work right about it.
Speaking of package, here's Edward. What's up?
Edward?
Hey.
What's up? I'm actually a fan of Yellow Card, so I want to say what up to. The dude. I don't know your name, but you're great.
Ryan, the dude with
my name is Ryan.
Dude with
what's up?
Okay. Dude with fear of flying to you.
During summer.
Right on.
You guys were cool.
Thank you.
Anyways, so here's my question. I have like a tear open sore on the tip of my penis, and I've had it for like 4 years, and I was just wondering if it could be like penis cancer.
Have you been tested?
No, I've been to doctors before, and he told me that it wasn't like. He told me it was just like a tear. That it was just like, you know, irritated.
Is it on the foreskin or is it on the tip of the penis?
It's on the tip of the penis, kind of right next to where like the opening is, and I have like some skin that's connected to the ligament.
Skin that's connected to the ligament. I'm trying to understand what the hell you're talking about.
You know, like the
talking about like the Darth Vader part underneath, like the Darth Vader helmet part, or the
You know that part that looks like the Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, not there, like on the top where the opening of the penis is.
Right next to it.
The opening.
Is it connected with the opening?
No, it's on the side. And there's
4 years, dude. You've had this thing. Does it ever change? Does it ever, like, get bigger or smaller?
No, it's still the same size. It hasn't changed. And, like, the thing that trips me out is that, like, sticky liquid comes out of it.
Yeah, I that's what I was going to ask you. I bet you it's a fistula or something. That I bet pee comes out of it sometimes even, right?
I'm not sure.
The sticky liquid is probably the usual lubricants of the urethra that the prostate produces. And that's probably, it probably connects to his urethra. It's like a phimosis. You need to have that looked at by urologist, Edward. That's something that you may have had longer than 4 years. You're just noticing it for the last 4 years.
And the doctor you went to before.
Misdiagnosed it, just missed
it. For sure.
Yeah, so good times. This is Chris 19. Chris, what's up?
Hey.
Hey.
I just wanted to let you guys know, Yellow Card was a big influence. You guys, your first album was a big influence on my life because I was going through a depression. And because I was having a lot of trouble with my father and whatnot. And you guys' first album that came out just really helped me through that. So I just wanted to let you know that. Thanks very much.
Hey, man.
Chris, that's cool.
You're welcome. That's why we do what we do.
Everything good now?
Music is just, you know, a whole part of my life, and it just really helped out. So thank you very much.
Right on, man. Thank you very much.
This now is Holly, 18, speaking of Holly.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay, so my question is a genital piercing, like if my boyfriend got his penis pierced, would it just make sex more pleasurable or would it hurt?
Hurt you?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know because I've never experienced.
Well, let's think about it. A nice big metal ring or a barbell banging around inside, that would feel good or that would feel bad?
I think that would hurt, but he said that would make it more pleasurable. Like, and that's what I've heard.
That's just because some guy is like telling him, like, dude, I heard my friend's cousin told me that he got his penis pierced and his chick like totally had 15 orgasms the first night. That's all that is.
For a male, a woman is like some sort of science project he's got to squeeze orgasms out of, and he's going to find a way.
Yeah.
He's going to give you some magic pill that's going to make you desire him and have orgasms.
And you might be special. You might be an exception to the case. But at 18, that is an impossible experiment to figure out most of the time.
Now, people like the novelty and the sort of exotic quality of piercings and things. And people and women that get clitoral hood piercings and whatnot sometimes get extra stimulated for a while and then lose the stimulation and can't
like
get
completely.
Completely.
And it sounds like Holly's not that into that crazy stuff.
Yeah. And the reality is nobody ever is really thinking, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever, really, never. They're into the exotic, they're into the whatever, they're sort of aroused by it, but the actual mechanics, are you kidding?
There's no way deep in their subconscious they're actually thinking, I want a big needle to go through the head of my penis
and
right now.
Not only that, what the hell is a ring doing at the back of the vagina? What the hell? There's no nerves back there. You know what I mean? Okay. There are no nerves in that part of the vagina. What's it going to feel? Nothing.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So we say no.
Nay. Say nay.
To the Prince Alberts.
Huzzah. Say huzzah. And by the way, the people that are doing that, magically, and this is, listen, judge not. This is not for me to disparage anybody. You guys go put spears through yourself. It's all good times. But the people in my experience that do that always have an abuse history. Not always. Well, genital piercing, virtually always.
Honestly. Like 99.9%.
Yeah, I mean, some sort of physical or sexual, something that sort of makes people are highly predictable. Our thinking, while we think we're such rational creatures, for the most part, our thinking services our motivational systems. Mm. The thing that caused you to think, motivate, it was a good idea to go stick a spear through your penis, the thing that motivated that is also causing you to think about reasons that it's a good idea.
Right.
To justify and to sort of, you know, men always need to know why, so they always go towards explanation. But the reality is there's a part of you going, do that. That's something sounds attractive and good. So that was Holly that we just talked to. And
I was bored, so I had my tongue pierced. I was bored, so I put a spear through my penis.
That's what I did. But you've got a song called Rough Landing for Holly.
Yes, yeah.
And Raleigh would have
Rough Landing Holly.
And quite appropriate.
Holly, you would have a rough landing sitting down the next day after experiencing that thing, ring or that barbell.
Send us up to this song. What do you think?
This song is called Rough Landing Holly. It's one of those, I'm an internally conflicted songwriter songs. So do with that what you will. And here it is.
Oh, we're still exchanging war stories here. That is Yellow Card. Rough landing for Holly, particularly if her boyfriend gets that Prince Albert or Ampeline. That would be a rough landing for her. We're going to take another break here. Yellow Card in here. Ryan Key, the phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. This is Loveline. We'll be right back.
Dude, you got issues.
Call Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Ryan Key from Yellow Card here. This is Michael 30.
Hey, Michael. Dr. Drew, how are you?
What's happening?
Hey, got a question. For pretty much my whole life, my whole sexual life anyways, every time I come is in, it burns. Is in, not real, real bad, but bad enough that it bothers me. And,
have you had that, have it evaluated?
I've had it evaluated 3 times.
And what do they think it is?
I didn't go there for that problem. Is in, I always get a rash as well, and I always thought it was herpes. And I've been tested 3 times for all STDs, and I've always come up clean, and they've given me antibacterial type creams and things to that nature.
Have you seen a urologist?
No, I have not.
Okay, that's where you need to go. This is typically actually a prostate inflammation and or muscle spasm in that area. Sometimes there's a sort of a combination of factors they do to treat what Michael's describing. Anti-inflammatories, muscle relaxant that are called alpha agents that we use for prostate inflammation and whatnot, and then antibiotics. That usually takes care of it. This is the guy that was going to provide the rough landing for Holly. This is Holly's boyfriend, Anthony.
Really?
The guy that wants the piercing. Yeah. Anthony, you're on with the Yellow Card.
Yeah, howdy.
What's up?
Yeah, I actually wondering how it'd be absolutely no pleasure for her whatsoever.
Well, how would it be pleasure for her? I think it's really the question.
I have no idea. I just found it pretty interesting. A lot of people have told me that, you know, it does feel good. You know,
that's what I was trying to say is this is a typical situation of my friend's brother's cousin's roommate told me.
Yeah, you're trying to squeeze stuff out of a girl like she's a science project.
Yeah, unless you really think, dude, and I want you to sit home tonight and like maybe write a list of pros and cons. You got to really know that having that, it's a big needle, dude. They're going to, I mean, you got to at least do, you know, like a 14, 12 gauge needle. That's they're right. going to do. And I've had piercings in my eyebrow, my lip and my ears. And you know, I'm an old man now, so I took them all out. But you got to really think you want them to run that needle through through a penis, man. Seriously, if it takes doing a little extra homework so you can find out how to give Holly a smooth landing, so to speak, it's worth the homework as opposed to the needle, buddy, I promise.
And by the way, that's all about your mouth, not your penis.
Exactly. And I guarantee you in 2 or 3 years, you would be like, you would take it out anyways. It's not something that you're going to keep until you're old and gray, I don't think, unless you're truly a strange, sadistic person that likes to have needles run through them, but you don't sound, I don't take you for that kind of guy.
No,
I don't even know you.
I'm not that type of guy. I just, you know, I thought it'd be interesting, something out of the ordinary, but now you guys got me kind of scared about it, so.
Well, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to make you think about what it's going to feel like to have a 12-gauge needle run through your penis.
And I just want you to think rationally about how it was supposed to stimulate your girlfriend.
I don't know. You know, G-spot or anything like that. Or
what?
G-spot. G-spot.
Yeah, your penis, no, dog. The tip of your penis is not at the G-spot. It's pretty far up inside. And there's no feeling up there. So the ring is way up inside there.
Oh, okay.
That makes more sense. It's just anatomy, man. It doesn't really work that way.
Wow. All right, here's
but I'm glad we talked someone out of a penis ring.
Listen to this. It's good. This is Crystal. Listen to this one. What's up, Crystal?
Hi. My boyfriend's Edward, who just called about the rip on his penis.
About the what?
And about the rip on his penis.
Oh, yeah? We're having a couple's call tonight. Yeah, and?
Yes. Well, the thing is, like, he's called Loveline pretty much once a week for the last month.
No way.
He's a hypochondriac, and I don't know what to do. Like,
what else is he called about?
He calls about the same thing every time, and you would tell him the same thing every time.
The rip on his penis?
Yeah, the rip guy.
And he doesn't really have a rip?
No, he does.
I don't remember.
He's gone to many strips about it, and still.
He's never called before.
I don't remember ever talking about a urethral fistula to anybody before.
Maybe he never got through.
He always says phimosis.
Oh, yeah, phimosis was sort of what I was referring to. Yeah. Has that ever been diagnosed in him before?
No, it's never been officially diagnosed, but... Yeah.
You're his girlfriend? What is this rip on the penis thing?
It's phimosis. It's like an extra tract.
Oh, it's an extra tract.
Yeah, from his urethra.
So he doesn't weird you out?
Pardon?
It doesn't weird you out?
No, because it's like the tiniest little thing. Like, it doesn't look abnormal by any means.
Why does he keep calling to get the same, hoping that one time I'll tell him something different or what?
Yeah, he wants you to tell him, like, he has cancer and he's going to die. I swear to you.
No, like, there's nothing.
Like, he'll go to many doctors and he'll be like, oh, he just misdiagnosed me.
All right, Crystal.
I didn't know what he's talking about.
All right, here's the deal. There's absolutely nothing about what he describes that has anything to do with cancer.
Yeah, I know. And I told him, like, it would have changed in the past 4 years.
No. There's nothing. Absolutely. There was not a single symptom or description that even rang in any way remotely like cancer.
I want a girl like you that's going to be okay with having an extra hole in my penis.
And by the way, penile cancers occur in people like in their 80s and 90s, essentially,
that's what I tell him every time.
Essentially without exception. So
I see he gets on the internet all night and looks at all these different symptoms. He's like, I have this and I have this. I think you're a hypochondriac because
I've seen a lot of people that obsess about the penis this way, and they tend to obsess with compulsive disorder. They're not hypochondriac. They're not somatizers because they just focus on the penis. And they complain about irritation. They complain about it, you know, this and that, and the other, and they just can't get off it.
Sometimes he's always thinking he has an STD or something, cancer, STD, anything.
Yeah. Does he hand wash a lot or anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should know this because I'm a psych major, but.
Yeah, this is more OCD.
I always thought he had a hypochondria.
No, it's more OCD, Crystal.
How are you gonna tell your girlfriend that you think you have an STD and then she's still gonna sleep with you and you're still gonna think you have an STD?
No, I'm the only person that he's been with too, and I'm like, you're crazy.
Yeah, and he sounds very wound up like an OCD. Yeah.
Next time he's on the internet looking at stuff, you need to just like get naked instantly and be like, distract him from looking at online
anything.
Descriptions of penis cancer. And give him
like,
something else to look at.
Penises, and I'm just sitting there.
Oh, that's very nice. It's very romantic. Very
touching. Get proactive in this situation.
All right, but Crystal, here's the deal. He needs to have that phimosis checked out. I don't think they're going to do anything with it. And then secondly, he needs to go somewhere and get on some they're called serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They will take care of that compulsiveness very nicely, that
really?
Obsessing. Yeah, this is a biological thing. In fact, I'm doing a piece on this for Discovery Health Channel, and it's something that is very interesting. Howie Mandel has it. A lot of people have this stuff.
The hypochondria OCD
No, it's OCD. It's really not hypochondriasis, because hypochondriasis is not a term that really means anything anymore. We really talk about somatizing disorders, somatization disorders, and there's a whole different series of classes of them. And that is much more global preoccupations than this one very focused thing on the penis. So.
Right.
All right, guys, take another break here. This is Ryan Key from Yellow Card. I'm going to say goodbye to him right now because I get him out of here, yes? I heard you calling your family. You wanted to go meet everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Florida and see my grandparents right now. No, I'm not at all.
Well, I heard you talking to somebody you were going to go see, and I was holding you here.
No, you're not holding me here at all.
Oh, you had a good time?
No, seriously, I'm having a good time. I don't even have to leave. We could do it.
All right, don't leave then. All right, we'll be back in just a second.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline will be right back.
Juicy tomato and a honey wheat roll. The new spicy chicken sandwich. Muy bueno, indeed.
Oh, my spicy chicken sandwich hits the spot.
Creamy, low-fat yogurt layered with juicy strawberries and plump blueberries. It's a good source of calcium and vitamin C. Come into McDonald's today and get your snack-sized fruit and yogurt parfait for only $1 from the dollar menu. McDonald's.
I'm no doctor, but I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
About life and life and love. All right, buddy. This is Loveline. We'll be back again tomorrow night. And until that time, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.